Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
This presentation is proudly sponsored by PlimeVent. PlimeVent is a driving force in advancing firefighter health and safety. PlimeVent's diesel exhaust removal system features virtually 100% source capture to eliminate diesel exhaust from your firehouse, as stated in the NFPA 1500. PlimeVent diesel exhaust removal systems meet the requirements stated in the Fire Act Grant Program Guidance for Modification to Facilities. Visit PlimeVent.com or click on the link on this page to learn more about their exhaust removal systems. Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. This is Peter Matthews. I'm here today with host Brian Vickers, who does our grant contributing. And we have a guest today of three panelists who have been very successful in receiving grant monies in the past from the AFG grant program. Today we're going to have Daniel Bernardi, chief of the Invergrove Heights, Minnesota Fire Department, whose department has won well over $100,000 in the past to secure the equipment necessary for the department to continue on in a safe manner. And also Melissa Eigenbrot from the Red Rock, New York Volunteer Fire Company. Melissa's story is amazing. It's a department, very small department, who's used this money to purchase their first brand new apparatus ever. And we'll also have John Morardito, whose department has also been awarded two grants, including the second grant that gave them the new PlimeVent system for their fire station. So, Brian, let's sit down and talk with the guests for a few minutes.
Well, welcome to Success Stories with Grants at Firehouse.com. This is Brian Vickers, Grants Contributing Editor, and we're talking with Chief Daniel Bernardi of the Invergrove Heights, Minnesota Fire Department, and Chief Melissa Eigenbrot of the Red Rock, New York Volunteer Fire Company. I want to thank both of them for joining us here today and sharing their stories. Melissa, why don't we start with you? Give us a little background on the department and where you're located, and then we'll get to talking in the specifics of the grants.
Sure. Red Rock is a very small rural community, about 35 miles southeast of the capital city of Albany in New York. Sit real close to the Massachusetts state line. Fully volunteered staff, we protect about 15 square mile district, and we probably have about 400 full-time residents. That number can almost multiply by 50%, though, in the summertime when everyone comes up to their weekend houses, you know, foot of the Berkshires. Everybody wants to be here. We got about 18 active members for our little tiny department. That's doing pretty good. We operate out of one station. Well, our grant last year, we were the recipient of a new apparatus. We got a 2007 Darley CAFS pumper we're running right now. We have an 86 International CAFS pumper, 78 Dodge Mini pumper that doubles as a brush and EMS vehicle. We do first responder response up here. We do not transport, though. Then we got a 73 converted Bronco that we do our off-road brush fire attack with, and a 2004 Gator that was actually gifted to our fire department in memory of a departed life member. And a 71 tanker hauls our water around when we're not drafting out of ponds. We operate on about a $30,000 budget a year. That's everything from new equipment, training personnel, to keeping the lights on in the station. Got a lot of ingenuitive people down there in our district, and writing these grants has just been another opportunity for us to better our fire service for our own community and those that we provide our mutual response for.
You're definitely at the extreme scale of the rural there. And
you got that right.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of departments all over the place and warding off perceptions of who's supposed to get the grants and who isn't, and, you know, we've certainly seen some larger cities pick up things. What have you found as far as putting the applications together? I mean, like I said, you're working on about 400 residents and 30,000 people, and looks like you picked up, you know, over $200,000 for that truck. Last year. I mean, there's just no way you'd be able to pull off something like that ever, I guess, for lack of a better term.
You get that right. Ever. This is the first new piece of apparatus our department has ever acquired. and probably will ever acquire unless we have another successful grant 20 years down the line somewhere. The application process, as far as the Fire Act grants go, is actually pretty simple. It's a lot of input and basic information, you know, that we all know about our own jurisdictions, and really preparing the scope of your project. You have to meet your request with the needs of your community. You know, our tiny little budget that we're operating on is pretty much going to show need for just about anybody. The original grant that we won in 2004 was about, I think it was about $37,000, and that was equipment that we were purchasing to outfit a pumper we had bought from a neighboring station for $1,000. And the reason for that was because at the time, every piece of apparatus that we had could haul only 3 firefighters to a scene. We had an influx of new members. I say influx, I mean, in 1 year, we took in 6 members. But when you only got 18 to work with, that's a big deal right there. And there was an 83 pumper that a neighboring department was getting rid of, but it sat 5 personnel. So that one actually met our needs that particular year. However, we don't have the money in the budget to then go ahead and get the equipment we were going to need to load the truck up to make it compliant with NFPA 1901. So again, meeting the needs of your department to your grant application, you know, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, and that's of course, and a lot of people probably take issue with that, which I've talked over and over again with people about their applications and what they feel the, you know, shortfalls of either the programs are, you know, what issues they may be having with it. But you harped on a lot of stuff that a lot of people take for granted, which is talking about you. I mean, that's my rule number one that I teach people about grant applications, is that it's got to be about you, not generalities about what the fire service is supposed to need or anything else. And that's actually one of the first things people take a jump to, is they make it about, you know, what a fire department is supposed to have and things. And that's, we all know what fire departments are supposed to have, but what it does come down to is what you specifically need.
Exactly.
And, you know, certainly with your description, I mean, you've got a unique description, you know, with your situation. So it's definitely, you had to meet it. Like I said, it was simple to put that stuff together, and as far as you're concerned, but you're right, it is about you. Now let's move to Dan. Dan, give us a little background on your department.
Well, Brian, first I just want to clear up, the only job I haven't had with the Inver Grove Heights Fire Department is the chief's job. Over the last 22 years I've held every other position, but I just want to clarify that we have a great chief. A new person came on board last year, Chief Judy Thill. Came from the Pennsylvania area 20 years ago out to Minnesota and has had a great career in the fire service. And she is our first career chief in Inver Grove Heights. And Inver Grove Heights is a second ring community of the St. Paul, Minnesota area. So we've got a population of about 35,000. And we carry about 60 firefighters on board and end up running on about 800 calls a year. We cover about 5 square miles of urban area and another 5 miles of rural area as it branches off and gets less suburban through our community into the third ring. And we've had a great success with the fire grant program. Everything that you just said and that Chief Eigenbrot brought to the table there is absolutely true, and that's that when you describe the needs that you have as a community and can back them up with the justification of exactly what calls you had and what resources you were needing and didn't have during those periods or those calls, that's what I believe has brought us our grants to Inver Grove Heights.
What did you guys go after last year? So you got about $180,000 for equipment and training.
Last year was our need to catch up with the megahertz system. The 800 megahertz was all over the rest of the county and the majority of our state. And so we utilized the opportunity for the operations and safety grant last year to equip ourselves with the 800 megahertz system to be ready to go when the rest of the county is going.
Was that so basically everybody upgraded around you and you kind of got left in the wings?
Yeah, and that kind of happens, you know. My role for the past 10 years, I've been a deputy state fire marshal in Minnesota here, and I hear these type of things a lot while I was out around the state. But individual departments within a county can sometimes get really far behind the rest of the county due to their structure, their infrastructure, of not having a lot of business tax base or things like that. Or just they're maybe on the outskirts of a county or a mutual aid area. And so the rest of the area ends up developing and staying current with the trends of the time, and then one or two communities will be kind of left out and behind, and it snowballs. So that the longer it's that way, the worse it gets for them, to where they're decades behind in technology.
Now, your position as a fire marshal's office and wandering around, how have you seen the state of Minnesota? Have you seen a lot of people working together? I hear every now and again that some departments are telling the other departments certain things or trying to knock them off track. I mean, do you find a lot of that up there, or does it seem like, as a state, Minnesota's working with each other to make sure that everybody's kind of brought up and everybody's taking advantage of the grants?
You know, I don't see that. I see a lot of support when we have our Fire Department Association conference, our Fire Chiefs Association conferences, our state fire schools. I see a lot of support. We have classes in all of every venue possible to provide grant writing skills and opportunities. And the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, the MINSCU system, has a fire and safety and EMS center that takes care of ensuring that these classes are going continuously from fall to spring when the grant process starts. And then you talk with the folks that are out at these conferences, and you hear what they've applied for, and you hear their pitfalls or their hurdles. And like you mentioned earlier, Brian, too, you do hear some saying, oh, well, I guess they're just going after this specific target or this size department, and we're never going to get one because of this. And you hear a little of that, but then normally people in the crowd that are there can talk them through it and say, no, that's not the case. Most of the time, if some funds are there, there is the obvious that there's more applications than funds, but 9 times out of 10, if you put the package together in the format that's requested and justify each of those areas, you'll get that grant. And so I've seen a lot of good support and not any of the backbiting or trying to bring it all into their community type of thing here in Minnesota.
That's excellent that everybody's working together. There's quite a few areas where people, the states have stepped up and the state organizations have, which is good. I mean, to some extent, you know, I kind of teach people that, yeah, this is your opportunity to kind of be greedy about it, but only in the sense that you want the money coming to your state, so, you know, or your county, so why not work together with everybody in the area? Because it's going somewhere, might as well, you know, make sure the best cases are put forward. And that's, you know, one of the things that a lot of us have encouraged, is that when everybody, you know, works together and makes sure that, you know, it's not about who can find the program or, you know, who can pick out what buzzwords. It's about who really has the need and can communicate it effectively. And when we all work together to make sure that's what happens, is that's when the grant program truly meets the needs of the area. Melissa, what have you found as far as help up in your region and what other departments in your area are doing to move forward as well?
Most of the departments up here, I think, are utilizing the Fire Act grant very resourcefully. Most awarded grants in Columbia County. Columbia County is a fully staffed volunteer county. I travel through it quite frequently. In addition to everything else we do, I happen to be one of the state fire instructors, so I get to see a lot of different departments and their operating procedures and their ideas. Quite often there's a really good networking system among the firefighters associations and the chiefs associations and even just the neighboring departments. And those departments who have been successful in writing their Fire Act grants are sharing that information and trying to reinforce that idea of, you know, we need to do what we need to do for our community, and this is how we've gone about it. And we're sharing copies of grant work and resource information and vendor and pricing information so that we can all kind of really focus in on what would be the best for our particular areas and working together to develop those programs.
Well, that's definitely excellent. I commend both of you for working through the channels that you have to share the information, and I want to thank you both for coming in here and sharing your success stories, and hopefully that inspires people to realize that it's up for any size community, and we just have to keep it to the needs of the applicant and keep it simple. And but most importantly, my pitch is apply. You know, I get a lot of people who get frustrated year after year that don't get it, and they want to throw it out. And I say, you know, it's free to apply. They can't say yes if you don't ask the question. And especially everybody that's going to listen to this, we do only have, I'll say, 2.5 application periods left, since we've only got till April 4th on the 08 AFG for equipment and vehicles. And right now the current law is 2009-2010, and after that it goes away. So I encourage all the listeners to get with your congressional representatives and national organizations, and let's encourage our elected officials to keep the program going, because certainly we haven't solved every need of the departments, and we probably never will, but you know, at least if we can take a little at a time, we'll make that progress and hopefully avoid situations of anybody getting left behind. So thank you both again for joining us and sharing your stories, and I wish you all the more success in the future.
Thanks very much for your input.
Thank you, Brian. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
This presentation is proudly sponsored by PlimeVent. PlimeVent is a driving force in advancing firefighter health and safety. PlimeVent's diesel exhaust removal system features virtually 100% source capture to eliminate diesel exhaust from your firehouse, as stated in the NFPA 1500. PlimeVent diesel exhaust removal systems meet the requirements stated in the Fire Act Grant Program Guidance for Modification to Facilities. Visit PlimeVent.com or click on the link on this page to learn more about their exhaust removal systems.
Hi, this is Brian Vickers again, grant writer, Firehouse.com contributor, and we're talking with John Mordito of the Border City, New York Fire Department. John, why don't you give us a quick rundown with your experience of the grants so far we can share with the listeners.
On the grants, I tried them in early 2000, and I wasn't getting anything. Then Seneca County hired a new grant writer. I approached him for help, and with him we've had great success getting 3 grants so far over the last couple of years. I find him being very successful, being that you have to justify everything that you put in for and prioritize it for safety of the firefighters. So once we got with the new grant writer, it was very successful.
Now, describe your area a little bit so we can give everybody a little background about where you're at and district size and responses, just so we can have everybody can have a comparison to maybe what their area is like as well.
Okay, I'm just east of the city of Geneva, a little town between, actually, if you're on a thruway, it's between Rochester and Syracuse. We're a rural department. A lot of my district is water supply, and the rest is a tanker shuttle area. We cover 10 miles square. The Border City Fire District, the townships of Waterloo, and the townships of Fayette districts, protection districts. A lot of country and a lot of industry now in our area, such as the NYSEC plant, bulk stations. We're now getting a Lowe's Home and Garden that's going to start this year, be completed by the end of the year. We'll have a lot of industry for our little township, actually. Quite a few residents. We've got a population of about 3,800.
Now, in the 06, you were able to replace bunker gear in your air packs, and you mentioned before earlier offline it's the first set of rescue tools. What ages of the equipment were you dealing with on the replacement of the bunker gear in the air packs?
Actually, the bunker gear was at its 15-year limit. The air packs are the same thing, about 15, and they're all the MSA belt mount regulators. Now the FPA has come out and changed over to the face mount with a heads up. I've got, I had at that time 20 packs that I had between the two stations. I run 2 fire stations. And with budget wise for us, it was impossible to do. We could only get as much as 1 air pack a year. And then when we applied for the grant, again, because of the safety operations of the firefighters, we were successful. We're getting that along with the JAWS life. I've always depended on other departments for the JAWS, such as the City of Geneva, the Village of Waterloo. They're, both stations have good response time to our area. Because of the monies that were out there, we decided we were going to try it ourselves, and we went for it, and again, we were successful on that. But most of our gear that we replaced, the turnout gear and air packs, were 15 years old.
Now, when mentioning the grant writer rates for the county, obviously they're doing other county projects and things like that. Is that pretty common for most counties in New York to have somebody in that position of the county?
Yeah, actually, around this and all the other counties, they do have grant writers that are willing to assist their fire departments and emergency management officers or systems, and actually the law enforcement side of it too.
Yeah,
for, like I said, our first one we had back in 2004. She did all right. She got a couple of grants. So we're a small county with 12 fire departments in it. The success rate wasn't that great, and then she left to go elsewhere and to take another job, I guess, in her career. And they hired Peter, and I don't know where he came from, but he's more sit down, not in a rush type mode to get things done. He sits down and listens, and like I say, he's been to quite a few classes around the state where they host these classes to let you know what's going to be accepted in the next grant and what the prioritization is.
Yeah, it's excellent that the county provides that resource, and that's just further proof that no matter what level you're at, certainly more education helps. I mean, I got
right.
to teach these classes myself, but not too many people realize that I go to them myself as well. I mean, certainly, whether we are depending on other people or, doing it ourselves, education is the key. And, I mean, as the saying goes, if you think education's expensive, ignorance is more expensive than that, certainly in this world where it does take that little bit more,
absolutely
a little bit more
right.
knowledge.
Say he would sit down with you if you want to do it yourself, and then he would proofread it. If you want half help with it, he would do it. Or if you just sit down and you want him to do the whole thing, he really goes out of his way to help the fire service and law enforcement.
That's excellent. Well, congratulations on your success, and hopefully wish everybody luck and moving forward in 2008 as of today, which is the 14th. We're about 21 days to the deadline of the AFG grants, so hopefully everybody's moving right along with the next one. And after this one's in, hopefully looking forward to safer fire prevention and all the other opportunities out there. Thank you for joining us, and try and stay warm.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio. We'll be right back.